Last Friday, March the 1st, was St David's Day, and along with the estimated 300,000 Welsh people of the diaspora in London, we celebrated with gusto. Is it any wonder, therefore, that in the octave of St David, that I was given the sermon slot for today? Being Welsh in London involves a lot of time spent in cultural events throughout the year, but never more so than during Welsh Week in London, when there are dozens of events to choose from, and every Welsh church and chapel has its own special service, lunch and concert, as well as one big interdenominational service. One of the highlights is the service at the House of Commons, when the children of the Welsh School London traditionally present a bouquet of daffodils to the speaker, and then take part in the service attended by parliamentarians of both houses. In this way, we celebrate, feast, sing, and give thanks to God for being Welsh and for St David. As children in Wales, we learnt the stories associated with David from a very early age. That he was born during a fierce storm, that he healed the sight of his tutor, Paulinus, and the famous miracle of Llandewi Brefi, where the ground rose up so that the huge crowd would all be able to see and hear him preaching. David founded a monastery in Glyn Rhosyn, or Valle Rosina, Valley of the Roses, the site of St David's Cathedral. Here he developed a community life based on fasting and prayer, both day and night, and drew many hundreds of pilgrims, both during his life and later. He was known as Dewi Ddyfrwr, David the Waterer, since he drank only water and made penance by immersing himself in ice-cold water to remind himself of his death in the waters of baptism, and that we rise to a new and contrite life. The cathedral has now restored much of the pilgrim paths in the vicinity of St David's, and you can take that pilgrimage today. In medieval times, it was thought that two pilgrimages to St David's equated to one to Rome, and that three equated to a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. David established for himself a rule of life to which he and his brothers in community adhered strictly. The other great monastic orders also developed their own rule of life as they established their communities, giving us the riches of the rule of St. Benedict and the writings of Bernard of Clairvaux. But as Benedict himself says, this monastic doctrine does not supplant the gospel. Which draws us swiftly back to take note of the reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. In this rather confusing and impassioned passage, where Paul seeks to lay before the Corinthians the basic rule of life of the Christian, to rejoice in the cross and all its ugliness, as this is the instrument of our salvation, and we are to be saved by his grace. Although we trust in the wisdom and grace of God, we also have an obligation to work at this way of life. We may be tempted, after a few weeks of abstinence from this or that, to succumb to a little indulgence as we sit back and decide that God's grace, not adherence to laws of our own making, is sufficient. In doing so, we neglect to face the fact that our little indulgences are contrary to God's law, the law of the Ten Commandments given to Moses and the people of Israel. This law was considered important enough to repeat it twice more in the Hebrew scriptures and remains relevant to us today because it speaks directly to human nature and our love of indulgences. If we were not over-fond of chocolate or cake, my own particular indulgences, there would be no point choosing to give these up during Lent in order to prove that we wish to be faithful to God's law. Our minimal Lenten gesture, our doctrine, does not supplant the scripture and the requirement to heed the rule of life laid down for us in the Ten Commandments. Paul also thought it fit to repeat these laws to the people of Corinth, and the passage today speaks of a rather testy Paul who is fed up of excuses, as the people of Corinth insist on going their own way and fall to the charms of the pagan gods, their entertaining rituals and customs. Christ himself became angry and testy as he swept the money changers out of the temple. The Ten Commandments are asking us to throw away our creature comforts and to think of others and be compassionate and empathetic to the needs of others and place our trust in God. We cannot take what we want, when we want, as this has consequences for others. This is God's clear rule of life for us. But human nature is such that we have to learn things in small steps. The prophets and the saints realized this, and in order to bring souls to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, our frail humanity has to be fed wisdom in small steps, or bite size, as the BBC would have it. And so back to David. David knew that the rigid asceticism of his community did not sit well in a domestic setting. It set an example, but not a practical way of life for those who have to go about their affairs in the haphazard world of agriculture, commerce, and day-to-day interaction. There is an ancient tradition that St. David died on a Tuesday, on the 1st of March. And as this occurred in the year 589 AD, this has been assumed as the day of his death. He was forewarned of his impending death by an angel, who came in a cloud of sweet fragrance and music, which was witnessed by his brothers. On the last day, St. David preached to a large congregation and bequeathed to us his rule of life, which was drummed into us as children and is much repeated at this time of year. But it never loses its resonance. His last words were, "Be joyful, keep the faith, and do the little things." What better time than in Lent to adhere to this rule of life? For as Matthew recounts, "When you fast, do not look somber, but put oil on your face and wash yourself." In other words, be joyful. In this way, we keep the faith and perform those small acts of fasting, kindness, and reflection, which lead us directly to the path which in turn leads us to the great triumph of Easter, the mustard seeds which grow into the mighty tree. Byddwch lawen, cedwch y ffydd, a gwnewch y pethau bychain. Be joyful, keep the faith, and do the little things. An enw Iesu Grist ein harglwydd. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Come arglwydd feini oes I, i'w chysegri o'r hi ti. Come er fo min I dau fod fydd yn llifo er dy glod. Come er di fy nwylon yr hodd, fydd i'w wnaeth i'r wrth dy fodd. cameriwr fy neidroed i, na hwy'n weddau dder o ti. Cymerdydd y llais yn lan, am fy mrenin boed fy nghan. Cymer fy ngwefusau, llan o hwynt a ddeiriau di. Cymer fair ar das i di. Fynwn atal dim, cymer fy nghyneddfa'n llawn, ith wasanaeth tro pob dawn. Cymer mwy Felly si, gwna hi ni na'r eiddo ti. Cymer i ti'r galon hon, yn o'r seddfaen dan fy mron. Cymer fy serchiadau o'r wrth y draed rwy'n bwrwys dor. Cymer arglwydd, cymer fi, byth yn unig o'r llun.